Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Romans chapter 9. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. This is the text. In those words, Paul makes one of the most profound statements of love and mercy and compassion in all of Scripture. It is a statement that I would like to think that I could make, but I honestly don't think that I could make that statement. Paul is essentially saying that if he could, he would willingly be accursed by God, be separated from Christ, and remain in hell for all eternity if it would mean that his fellow Israelites would receive the gospel and take their rightful place as the people of the covenant, the new covenant in Christ's blood. We have heard Jesus speak of the fiery furnace of hell where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth the past few weeks as he's been going through the parables. That never-ending agony of a hopeless eternity separated from God, which is just so terrifying that it goes way beyond anything that we really ever want to think about. As I said, I would like to think that I would be willing to make that trade for the sake of others who do not share our joy in Christ, but I don't think I could ever honestly share Paul's willingness to trade places. I say this in the shame of my sinful selfishness, but I really look forward to the joy of God's eternal kingdom. I could make the magnanimous statement of how, oh, for the sake of the lost, I would be willing to give up my place in the kingdom of God. However, it would only be with the full knowledge that I know that I cannot trade places with someone else. Each person will be responsible for giving their own account on the last day. I can't trade places with anyone. I can't have enough faith to cover for anyone else also. Likewise, I cannot borrow from the abundance of faith from my parents, or friends, or church members, or saints in heaven. My hope and your hope can only be found in Christ. I believe that Paul's statement of love and compassion is genuine. And he says, I am speaking the truth. I am not lying. And if you read Acts or 2 Corinthians, and see what Paul endured for the sake of the gospel being heard, his compassion was genuine. He went through hell on earth for the sake of the lost. In Acts, you read about him, he goes to Lystra, and he preaches there, and the crowd tries to stone him to death, drags him out of the town, thought they had done the job, thought he was dead, left him there to be eaten by the birds. Paul wakes up and walks right back into the same town. He has genuine compassion for the lost. In our gospel reading, Jesus has genuine compassion for this massive crowd who came to him. Now, his compassion was not, concerning their empty stomachs. Providing fish and bread to fill them for one day, that was not the purpose of his ministry to the people. He has compassion on them. And compassion never comes without a cost. That's the nature of the word. In the Greek, it's esplagnosthe. It's this beautiful word that means turning your insides out. Literally, it means exposing your spleen. If you must know the actual root of the word, it comes with a cost. Just as St. Paul speaks of his willingness to give up his rightful place in heaven for the sake of the lost, Jesus actually gives up his rightful place in the heavenly realm, comes to earth to endure a lifetime of humiliation, and then endures the ultimate humiliation, endures complete separation from God the Father, which is the worst part of being in hell. And unlike Paul at Lystra, Jesus is going to die at the hands of evil men. This is his compassion for the crowd. True compassion always comes with a cost. There will be a broken body. There will be shed blood. And in this feeding of the 5,000, in the actual eating, we see a foreshadowing of what is to come. He took the fish and the bread, and what did he do? He gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples. Does that sound familiar? This is what happens in the upper room when he establishes his new covenant. Jesus gives the bread and the fish to the disciples to give to the people, and all the crowd ate and were satisfied. There was an abundance. There was enough for this great crowd and more if need be. Jesus is going to show compassion on the people, and his compassion will cover any great crowd. His compassion will be enough to feed the whole world with the food that he has to offer, and there will be a broken body and shed blood for all. We heard in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 55, this song of the suffering servant who would be pierced for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. This is part of his song of compassion. Once again, we see that when we're reading Scripture, it requires us to look at the context, because this is just a little part of the song. Starts way back in Isaiah 52, actually, but in Isaiah 53, we have already heard how the suffering servant, the Messiah, has paid the full price for all that the people need. He was pierced for our transgressions. It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. That's all from Isaiah 53, which is the text, the Old Testament reading each year for Good Friday. It speaks of Christ's crucifixion in very graphic, specific terms 700 years before his crucifixion. Isaiah tells the people, I know that your spiritual body has hunger and cravings. So why are you bothering yourself and wasting your time and money on food that is not real food? You will never be satisfied. You feel empty and you try to fill yourself with all the different things that the world has to offer. But that food is not real food. Come and eat what is good. Why do you spend your money for that which is not the bread of life? Why do you work so hard for the things of this world that will not last? On Thursday morning at our Coach House Bible study, we just finished a fantastic study on Ecclesiastes. I encourage you to read that book. It's a quick read. It's one of my favorite books in all the Bible to just sit down and read. It really doesn't take that long. And Solomon keeps repeating that throughout that book, which is really a lament of the wasted years of his life, that all that this world has to offer is vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. Solomon spent the middle years of his life working to build his wealth until he became the richest man that the world has ever known on a relative basis. He controlled a higher percentage of the wealth of the world than anyone else in all of human history. Scripture says silver was as common as stones in Jerusalem during the days of Solomon. Yet he says it did not satisfy him. It was vanity. It was chasing after the wind. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and it did not satisfy him. He said, I searched my heart how to cheer my body with wine. And he surrounded himself with luxury and a life of ease and eating and drinking to his heart's content. This was his reward for the hard work of his life. And he says, it did not satisfy him. It was vanity. It was like chasing after the wind. The next new thing, the next new wife, was never enough. It left him empty. Isaiah and Paul and Jesus are telling the same story. There is only one thing that matters. There is only one thing that is needed. There is only one thing that will satisfy. Be filled with the one who became sin for us, who was pierced for our transgressions, who endured the separation from God the Father, forsaking him there at the cross. Scripture says there is bread and there is wine that is without price and that will satisfy. Jesus knows how sin makes you feel separated from God, how sin has left you empty. He has genuine compassion for you. He endured hell on earth for you. Come and eat. My hope and your hope can only be found in the broken body and shed blood of Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.